Good evening. Welcome to Speak Up Arkansas. We want to remind you that during our conversation, you can send an email with any questions to speakupar@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to Speak Up Arkansas. Mr. Marion Humphrey will be the moderator of today's discussion. Mr. Humphrey, take over.
Thank you, Paul. Again, my name is Marion Humphrey, Jr., and I'm a Little Rock native working as an organizer with the National Education Association. Today we have President Brenda Robinson of the Arkansas Education Association and Dr. Raymond Dunny Lee, who is the doctor and
Dean
of the Cannon Clary College of Education in Searcy, Arkansas. Thank you so much for being here. Today we will discuss the teaching profession pipeline in Arkansas, students in education school programs throughout our state, and also discuss the current climate for Arkansas's public schools. President Robinson, please introduce yourself and your connection to the issue at hand.
My name is Brenda Robinson, and I am the president of the Arkansas Education Association, as well as a sixth grade teacher. I've been teaching for 23 years, so I am well versed as a veteran in what goes on in our public schools and the outcomes that our students can be successful with.
Dunny, how about yourself?
My name is Donnie Lee, and I began my teaching career 34 years ago in the Pulaski County Special School District. I was born in Little Rock and became a teacher, a seventh grade English teacher in the beginning of my career. I've been a principal and superintendent, and now I'm the dean of the Cannon Clary College of Education at Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas.
Okay, so speaking about the College of Education, you work directly with young people who want to pursue education as their profession, correct?
That's right.
So could you tell us a bit about the current atmosphere for those education professionals and what you're seeing as someone who makes sure that our future teachers are prepared?
Well, let me start by saying when I went to college 30-something years ago and graduated to become a teacher, it was a very different environment than it is today. I remember the first day that I became a teacher, first day on the job, I remember thinking, what do I do now? Preparation was very different than it is today. In the colleges of education in Arkansas and our teacher preparation programs, we have become a much more finely tuned machine over the last 20 years. Our National Accrediting Association, called CAPE, has really challenged us to up our game. We meet several standards, national standards, in all of our teacher preparation programs, and these standards really reflect the level of quality that we're trying to instill in our candidates as they become beginning teachers. We really want our teachers to be classroom ready when they walk into a school, and that's a tall order today and a tough assignment in today's schools.
What are some of the characteristics that get a teacher to be classroom ready?
Well, one of the things that is most challenging to beginning teachers, and I don't know if Brenda would see this or not, but I'm sure she would agree, is just understanding the environment in which you're teaching. Every teacher goes into a specific and particular culture in their school, in their community. And one of the hardest things, I think, for beginning teachers is not understanding how to make a lesson plan or even knowing their content, but it's understanding how to navigate through that very complicated world of the culture that they find themselves in their classrooms, in their schools, and in their communities. So two of the things that I would say are the biggest challenge for us to help our future teachers become competent and really comfortable in as they begin their teaching career are, number one, managing classrooms, big challenge. And secondly, working with parents to help parents be an equal and very helpful partner in their child's education.
President Robinson, I see you shaking your head. Do you want to go further into what he's talking about in terms of those additional challenges for new teachers?
Absolutely. Coming from an elementary background where we have to teach all subjects in elementary. So, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about my first year teaching, which was in, I'm not going to show my age here, 1995. I became a classroom teacher. And it's true, learning lesson plans, that's kind of easy because when you're going through the teacher preparation program, you do have the latitude to really understand how to make lesson plans. I mean, before you have to do your pre-teaching, your student teaching, so you kind of have a little knowledge of what goes on in the classroom, but you're not totally in control of the classroom, you know, right, by yourself, because the cooperating teacher is there with you. So to go into a classroom and have to handle the classroom entirely by yourself is very challenging, and I believe classroom management is one of the things that I've seen as novice teachers have been in my buildings, is they struggle with classroom management. Time management is another piece, and also working with parents. How do I have conferences with parents, or how do we even talk to parents about the good things that students are doing, or, you know, challenging things that the students mm-hmm. are doing? So I agree. I think the teacher preparation programs are moving to make sure that student teachers that are coming through the pipeline get what they need. You know, we don't learn everything in college. You know, trial and error is a lot once you get in teaching. I mean, you just kind of have to learn your kids, know the culture, mm-hmm. The environment that you're teaching in, as well as hopefully you'll have a good mentor that will help you navigate through some of your challenges.
So both of you have a firsthand look at the entire education profession and the schools of education. Has there been any shift in the trends of students seeking professions or professional education in teaching? Have you seen any trends since you've been dean of the College of Education?
Well, Miriam, one of the things that's a little alarming is the downward trend in the number of students making a decision to become a teacher. In our colleges of teacher education or educator preparation programs, we've seen a significant decline in our traditional programs in the last 5 years. We've also seen a similar decline in the non-traditional approaches outside of our education programs and colleges. The one place we've seen a fairly steady rate, even though there's a slight decline, is in our non-traditional programs in our colleges of education. What that tells me is that young people may be looking at other career choices. They may be making other decisions right now. And one of the challenges I think we have as a profession is to really be very clear and very upfront about what the profession is, what it isn't, and become more attractive to young people to enter this very service-oriented profession. It's a very challenging job. It's a very challenging career. It's very complex. It requires a set of skills and a certain level of expertise that you have to acquire and you have to grow in. It's not just something you can walk into a classroom and do. You know, that's one of the things, especially when I was in the classroom teaching, that I would hear is anybody could be a teacher. You just walk into a classroom and teach. I mean, how hard could that be? Well, you know, I've flown on airplanes too, but I don't pretend to be a pilot and know all the intricacies of that. So one of the things that I think we need to get across to folks is that being a teacher is rewarding, but it's also very challenging. But you put those two things together and you have got just a wonderful career opportunity for people. And the other challenge I think we have as well, although it's not the number one reason people leave teaching, is the pay. Obviously, you know, how we esteem teachers and recognize teachers as professionals in our state, in our country, is a critical issue, and we need to work on that from every angle. But the fact of the matter is that teaching is it's an essential profession we have in our country, in our state, and we want to be sure we're doing everything we can to put qualified teachers into classrooms from the very beginning so that they can grow in that profession and stay. Because the other issue is, by the fifth year, we have up to 35% of people leaving the profession, and we need to do something about that. That's a very critical issue as well.
Again, President Robinson, I see you shaking your head. Would you like to comment on what he's been discussing?
Well, I mean, he took some of my ideas that I had when we were really talking about work climate, but then we're looking at, well, why do we not have students going into the colleges of education, you know, to be a teacher? And I know that we have to think about, how do we grow our own, or how do we make mm-hmm. teaching more attractive? Teaching used to be the number one profession that people wanted to go into because it was well respected. Well, teaching is not well respected at all by the public, and unfortunately even by some of administrators. And there's a negative connotation right now on public schools and public education as if public schools are failing our children. Yes, do we have schools that are in academic distress? Yes. But do we have high-performing schools? Yes. Are good things going on in those schools that are deemed as academic distress? Absolutely. But all of that has been based on a test score. One test score that says when the child took this test, they were proficient or not proficient. And if that's what we're basing everything on to make the determination if children are successful, then you could see why students don't want to go into the College of Education because of the stress that's being put on teachers, the paperwork that's being put on teachers. But I think, as a teacher myself, we have to think about talking positive about our profession. Yes. Is it challenging? Yes. Is it rewarding? Absolutely. But we have to talk about the great things that are going on in education instead of the negative things, even as a teacher, with, you know, perhaps with all the paperwork and all the things that's piled on our plate, but nothing's taken off. Mm-hmm. So I think as teachers, we have to promote our profession in a better way that we're doing right now and start talking to students, even in elementary school, you know, about teaching. Mm-hmm. In middle school and mm-hmm. high school. And that way they'll generate that idea of, you know, teaching is a really wonderful profession. And I think the more positive thoughts that we throw out there and we talk about our profession, as well as parents talking about our profession. You know, right now, Little Rock is being faced with closing some schools, and the parents at those schools are saying, this school is a great school. The teachers are great. They help my child every day. So we know there are good things going on, but on the other hand, the negative things are being spewed out. So I think that's one of the reasons why students are not going into the colleges of education.
I want to follow up on that, but before I do, I'd like to remind listeners to email us at speakupar@gmail.com or call at 501-433-0088. Again, 501-433-0088. So you said a lot of great things there. And one of the things that stood out to me, I was just wondering, how does this trend of less teachers going into schools of education / the negative connotations that are put on public schools affect the students within those schools? Or are Arkansan students?
Yeah, I mean, I think it affects them, but I think students know in the classrooms, you know, about their teachers and their schools are great. You know, they're saying that, parents are saying that, but I think once the community and the whole public, you know, we look at public education in a positive way, I think that we'll have more people going into the teaching profession. Yes. The lack of money, everyone knows you don't get rich in teaching. I mean, we know that from the beginning, but it's about how do we nurture, how do we care for those students, how do we ignite their imagination. That's why teachers go into the teaching profession. It is not for the money. And teachers leave the profession in 5 years or less simply because they're not supported. They're not responsive. The school leaders are not supportive or responsive to the new educators coming in the school building. There's a lack of support, stress level is high, classroom management is an issue, and the lack of professional development. Those are some of the higher reasons why teachers leave the profession. It's not about the money. Does money play into it? Absolutely. But that is not the main reason. It's really the lack of support. So that goes into the school climate, where a school leader has to make sure that that school building is a healthy environment, not only for the students, but for the staff and for the parents, where they're engaging with the parents and students, and they reach out to the community, and they collaborate with teachers and parents and cultivate leadership within their buildings.
One second, I believe we have a call. Hello? Are you there? Please try again later. Again. So I'm sorry to cut you off. President Robinson, did you have anything that you wanted to finish up with that?
No, I just think it when we have those so many negative attacks on public education, it takes away the joy and the motivation of teaching for educators as well as the learning outcomes for students. So I think that there's a good fix for this, that we just have to promote our profession in a more positive way and let the students know, hey, you can be a great teacher. Teaching, they're rewarding, so many great rewards in being a teacher. There's so many. I'm in my last year as the president of the Arkansas Education Association, and we'll be going back into the classroom on this time next year. So right now I'm just bubbling over, like I can't wait to get in that classroom and get with the children, because the first thing I do is I want to ignite their curiosity, imagination, and inspire them to want to learn and bring that joy back of learning.
So, Donnie, I think I can see your brain moving here.
I'm trying to slow it down.
There's been a lot said. Are there some pieces there that you want to comment on? Or?
Well, I think what President Robinson's saying is absolutely correct. You know, you can spot a teacher a mile away who's been there, done that, and enjoys it and has passion for the career. One of the things that I think sometimes is very disheartening to the profession is everyone thinks they can fix it. Whether it's the political winds out there, whether it's the community, whether it's parents, everyone thinks they have the fix for whatever they perceive to be the problems in education. And one of the things that I think we need to do as a profession in the training and preparation of teachers, as well as those teachers who are seasoned and been in the profession for a while, is we need to very clearly define what it means to be a teacher. We need to stand up and step up and act very professional to the communities around us so that they see what the profession really entails. One of the things that I think we have sometimes to deal with the profession of teaching is kind of its historical roots that have come out of different communities. And it's not the same as it used to be. As I mentioned earlier, you know, when I began teaching, preparation to become a teacher was very different than it is today. And I'm glad it is, because when our students go out into classrooms as novice teachers, they have a much better idea of what they're going to encounter, even though I think, as President Robinson said, they don't know everything. You cannot prepare for every contingency you're going to meet in a profession. But they know things, they recognize things, and they know how to learn to deal with them very quickly, and I think that's very important. When I became a teacher, one of the things that I think was important to me is I chose to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher. This was not a default position. This is not something I did because I couldn't do something else. I chose to become a teacher, and I choose to remain a teacher and be in education. I think it's an essential profession. And the fact is, the children in our state are the most important resource we can invest in. There is no more important resource we can invest in, our time, our money, and our energy. And so as teacher preparation providers like Harding, or even as President Robinson does, heading up the teaching force in Arkansas, there is nothing we should spend more time on and talking about and investing in is helping our students in our schools learn and become successful. That's the key to community development. That's the key to community success. And we're seeing too many communities in Arkansas, particularly in our Delta region, that are not thriving. And part of the reason they're not thriving is because we have got to make a better commitment to invest in our communities. And let me just quickly mention this. One of the things that Harding's doing, but we're not the only provider doing this, is we're beginning to form very meaningful partnerships with communities around the state, with the school districts, where we will grow their own, as President Robinson said. We will take people who want to be teachers in that community, we'll go to those communities and provide the classes and preparation for those folks. We'll go in and we'll take teachers who've already been teaching and develop teacher leaders among those teachers, National Board certified teachers and others who can become and emerge as teacher leaders. One of the things we've had as a profession, frankly, is if you're a good teacher and you want to advance, one of the only ways you could do it historically is to become an administrator. And sometimes we lose our best teachers because of that. We want to keep those teachers in classrooms, and that's what we are trying to do as part of our institution. I know many others are doing that. We just need to step it up in our profession, and we need to find ways to keep people in this very important task of teaching students in our classrooms.
I have a follow-up to that as well, but as a reminder, if you would like to contribute to this conversation, please again call 501-433-0088. Again, 501-433-0088. So there were some solutions in that comment there, and I'm curious about what are some additional solutions to making sure that we continue to build up our public schools and our teaching profession. President Robinson, do you have any suggestions there?
Yes, I think one way, I love it to hear that the colleges of education are reaching out to the community. Because with the new federal law, ESSA, Every Student Succeeds Act, it talks about collaboration among stakeholders. That stakeholders should have provide input for the state education department's state accountability plan, as well as stakeholders being able to be a part of districts. So that means parents, communities, teachers, education support professionals. I mean, it's everyone that's a stakeholder in wanting to make sure that students are successful and they succeed. So I would admonish all of you to get involved in your schools. Go to your schools. Give feedback in your schools. Give feedback to the principal. Give feedback to the commissioner of education to say, what do our schools need? Because we have to advocate for the schools our students deserve. And our students deserve great public schools. But without our input, without our feedback, we're not going to be able to move forward. And when you want to know what's happening in school buildings, talk to the teachers. We're the experts. We're with the children day in and day out, and we know what our students need. But unfortunately, we seem to be the last ones that are in those conversations. Everyone else are having those conversations around us. But I think just one of the best solutions that we have going for us right now is to get involved at the state level and at your local school district level in helping provide input on the schools that our students deserve.
That can make a big difference. Donnie, I see you writing there. Did you want to add in on
that? Well, I just wanted to add in comment. We in our country and certainly in our state are committed to educating a diverse population. We have in any typical classroom students coming into those classrooms from a variety of backgrounds, experiences, learning levels, abilities, even languages in some cases. And that's a tall order for a teacher to be able to teach those students. But we're committed to that in our schools. We don't turn away any students. And as a result, one of the questions that always comes to my mind is, how do we measure success in those classrooms? How do we measure success in those schools? And I think, as President Robinson suggested a moment ago, we often use a single test score to somehow determine whether or not a student, and certainly by extension a teacher or a school, is successful. To me, that's like standing on a bathroom scale and getting your weight determining your health. It's one indicator, but it's not the only indicator, and it may not even be the most important indicator. So when you're looking at something to determine how healthy it is or how successful it is, you look at the whole person, you look at the whole system. And one of the things that I think is so important that she alluded to in communities is the relationship teachers and schools have with communities.
One second. We have a call. Hello there.
Yes, I am here. I was calling concerning the school and the curriculum. I wanted to know if they were still teaching the phonics, the cursing for the elementary, and the old-fashioned timetables, because if we do not teach them how to read, how are they going to be able to read the Bible? And we're going to be held responsible for that. So again, I insinuated that I wonder if they still teaching phonics. I taught school about 30-some years. The phonics, the cursing of ABCs, and the old-fashioned timetable. The whole timetable, not just by, yes, and teaching the way they taught us back in the 60s. Because if we do not teach them how to read, how is they going to be able to read God's word? We will be held responsible for it. And I thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Thank you, President Robinson.
I would say there was legislation presented in the 2015 session that cursive writing would be implemented in elementary schools. And pretty much in K-2, maybe part of K-3, they do deal with phonics instruction in the schools. And really depended on, we have a curriculum, but really depended on the teacher. As a classroom teacher, I was the old-fashioned one. We would learn our multiplication facts. So I think students are learning their multiplication facts, but it may be done in a different manner than it has been presented. So I would say that the school systems are addressing your three issues.
So I'd like to thank President Robinson from the Arkansas Education Association, and I'd also like to thank Donnie Lee from the College of Education at Harding University. Any final words?
I would just say that our public schools are great, our teachers are great, and I'm hopeful that other students will see the positive of teaching and go into the colleges of education.
And I appreciate that, because we are one big system. We begin education at preschool, and we go all the way through college in some cases to produce teachers to go back into those schools and reinvest what we've been doing through those 12 or more years in public education. So we're very much a partner in that, and we're glad to partner with that, because it's the most important thing we're doing in our state right now.
Well, again, my name is Marion Humphrey, Jr., and I'm with the NEA. I'm very thankful and grateful to be here. We'll take a short break.